Joining us now, Dial-A-Doc, FHN in Freeport, it's Dr. Roland Tulliver. Good morning, Doctor. How are you today, sir?
Good morning, Dan. I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing okay. Nice to have you with us. A little bit warming up, but we've had some cold days, more cold days coming in the, coldest part of the winter, if you will. And people need to be aware of the potential for frostbite. So in technical terms, what exactly is frostbite?
Well, in basic terms, frostbite occurs when the skin tissues are exposed to extreme cold or freezing temperatures for a prolonged period of time. It doesn't have to be real long if the temperatures are cold enough, but if the temperatures are a little bit warmer, closer to freezing, if you're out in the cold for extended periods of time, then frostbite can occur. Frostbite kind of falls on the spectrum between frost nip, which is the early stages of frostbite, and hypothermia, which would be the extreme case where the body temperature and the core temperature drops below where the normal temperature for extended period of time.
Does your age or maybe your circulation have any thing to do with that, Doctor?
Age, to a certain extent, as you know, obviously as we age, our circulation is not always as good as it was when we were in our 20s. What primarily really matters is several things. One is that basically, if somebody's a smoker or if they are drinking alcohol when they're out in the cold, if they are on anticoagulation therapy such as blood thinners, all of these things can contribute. Another big factor oftentimes in some of the patients that we've seen that have developed frostbite is that they have diabetes and they have a loss of protective sensation to their fingers and their toes, which basically is called neuropathy. And if they can't feel the changes in their fingers and their toes when they're out in the cold, then they're much more susceptible to developing frostbite because of that lack of sensation to begin with.
About how long generally does it take for frostbite to set in, and what kind of temperatures?
Well, in the coldest temperatures, frostbite can set in as little as 5 minutes. As the temperatures rise, as they hopefully will the next couple of days here, there's a lot less likelihood, and you would have to be out in the cold for much longer periods of time. Some of the things that can also contribute to that, though, is if we're out in the cold and it's cold, wet, say like your fingers or toes get wet because of the moisture from like a wet snow or even like a rain that is closer to 32 degrees, that can also contribute, that it will make you much more susceptible to developing frostbite.
How would you know if you're in imminent danger of getting frostbites, as in what would be some of the symptoms you'd feel?
Well, we'll kind of go through the basics here. Primarily, if your skin starts to look white or a grayish-yellow color, obviously the easiest place to look when you're outside is at your fingertips, because you're not going to take your shoes off in the middle of the winter to look at your toes. But if they become cold, they feel waxy or hard, that's an indication that, frostbite may be setting in. Oftentimes, the first sign that you'll get is that the skin may begin to itch or it may burn or even becomes numb. As we get to more severe frostbite, this can lead to blistering of the skin, additional hardening of the skin where it looks very waxy, almost like, like Madame Tussauds wax museum type of skin. And in the most severe cases, which I've seen, unfortunately, a few times, is that gangrene can set in into the digits.
Wow. Now, when people come inside, when frostbite is starting to take effect, do you notice it right away, or does it take like a half an hour?
It depends on how severe it is. I mean, if it's just basic frost nip, you may not notice a whole lot of change. You may just notice the increased whiteness of your tissue, or discoloration, and then maybe even on like a red color that can set in. That takes a little bit longer to calm down. But once you're inside, you want to do a couple things. You want to look for redness. Like I said, the loss of color, if there's an increase in pain or numbness to the affected areas. Remember, what's happening is that frostbite is not only decreasing the temperature, but when you have a decrease in temperature, you're actually causing what's called vasoconstriction, which affects primarily the smallest blood vessels, which are called the capillaries. The capillaries go to the tips of the fingers, they go to the tips of the toes. The other two areas that you really want to look for are the lobes of the ears and the tip of the nose. Anything that's exposed like that can be much more susceptible. And there's smaller body parts, and with the capillary being smaller, when those vessels become constricted, what it's doing is it's really decreasing the amount of oxygen that's getting to the tissue.
Great explanation, Doctor. We're talking with Dr. Roland Tulliver from FHN Podiatry, the Center for Wound Healing at FHN, and part of Dial-A-Doc on Big Radio this morning. Doctor, what should be done to treat frostbite, and are there any home remedies that are acceptable?
There are, and I always tell people the first, you know, it's the old adage, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. The first thing is you want to make sure that if you are going to be exposed to the cold temperatures, you have to go out for work or, you know, shoveling the sidewalk or whatever it happens to be, you want to protect the susceptible areas that you have, you know, your toes, your fingers. You want to wear insulated gloves. You want insulated boots. I oftentimes tell people to wear a thin layer of sock against their skin, such as polypropylene, which will wick away moisture, and then wear a thicker cotton or wool sock over that in order to keep the moisture away from the tissue. The second thing is that the first sign of any type of pain or numbness to the toes, you want to get yourself inside. You know, don't stay out there for a prolonged period of time. If you do suffer some of the symptoms, then when you go in, the basic home remedies are that you want to go in and gently rewarm the frostbitten areas. You can soak the fingers or toes or any affected area in lukewarm water, not hot water. The key thing is you do not want to use water that's too hot, because physiologically the body cannot handle that sudden increase in temperature. So the temperature should be about 105 to 110 degrees, just slightly above body temperature. You know, put the affected area in, and if you feel it, it's probably too hot. So it just wants to be, you know, very lukewarm. You can soak it for about 10 or 20 minutes till the skin returns to normal color and that there's no numbness present. Again, you want to drink some warm liquids just to kind of get your body core temperature up, but not alcoholic beverages. Over-the-counter pain meds like Tylenol can be used if needed. And then as the skin returns to normal, you'll probably get a tingling sensation and then the normal color. So, and the key thing is if this fails to happen or if there's a severe increase in pain, go to the emergency department.
I'm guessing, Doctor, that the tingling is a good thing.
The tingling just basically means that you're getting the circulation back to the digits.
All right. Excellent. What about somebody that's had frostbite before? Is it easier to get it again, or can you get it again, or does it get worse?
Yeah, you definitely can. I've a lot of my patients that have had frostbite are much more susceptible. It's almost like the tissue is predisposed to increased injury due to the previous injury. So, you know, if you've had frostbite that's, you know, been severe enough, you know, a lot of times if you go out in the cold, you'll notice that change a lot sooner than, say, somebody that hasn't in the past. You know, so that's, you know, something, again, that's a prevention aspect of more than anything. You want to make sure that you're wearing insulated gloves and boots and, you know, and try to minimize the amount of time that you're exposed to the cold.
Sounds like your body kind of tells you when some danger is imminent.
It's basically your warning signal.
Yes. I would guess some of those gloves and boots you can get, and I think they make pants and coats, too, that have the little battery pack that sends warmth through you might not be a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea, but once again, if a patient has diabetes and they've had a previous history of frostbite, or even if they don't but they have neuropathy, you want to be careful with the battery heaters because if you can't feel it, my worst-case scenario was a patient with really cold feet. The family thought that they were doing him a favor by getting him battery-powered socks. He couldn't feel them and ended up with gangrene of all of his toes.
Oh, wow.
That's real severe, but, I mean, it's something that, you know, has to be monitored. Yeah. That one has always stuck with me.
I believe that. Well, people with diabetes, too, often don't feel things in their extremities.
Exactly. That's the neuropathy that sets in.
All right.
So, and plus, a lot of times with diabetes, they have less circulation especially to the extremities.
So diabetics should be extra careful. All right.
Correct.
Is frostbite similar to anything else you care for at the Center for Wound Healing, Doctor?
Well, frostbite, basically can cause tissue damage, just like any of the other wounds that we take care of, whether it's a diabetic ulcer, a venous stasis ulcer, pressure ulcer, even trauma from surgery or just basic trauma, that has penetrated through the skin. Any of those can, be similar to what we're treating. Obviously frostbite is more of a thermal necrosis or loss of tissue because of the skin gets frozen. But scalding, on the opposite end of things, can cause blistering as well and can cause tissue damage, if the temperature is too hot or somebody gets burned.
All right. We're talking with Dr. Roland Tolliver from FHN, part of Dial-A-Doc, FHN Podiatry, and the Center for Wound Healing at FHN. And what type of treatments are available for things other than frostbite at the Center for Wound Healing, Doctor?
Well, even for frostbite, but we've had a couple of cases of frostbite that have required hyperbaric oxygen treatments in order to minimize the damage to the tissue if the injury was severe enough. But hyperbaric oxygen is the one that most people think of for a lot of our wounds, including diabetic ulcers and even things as extreme as it may seem, but what's called osteoradionecrosis, which is where there's been trauma to the bone due to radiation therapy for treatment of different types of cancer. Some of the other treatments that we do include skin grafting. There are bioengineered skin grafts, and then basic wound care such as debridement, which means that we're removing the devitalized or the dead tissue and trying to get circulation improved to the area in order to be able to promote healing of the wounds.
I'm guessing you kind of answered this next question in what you just said, but the types of patients that benefit from the treatments available at the center, you kind of covered that, didn't you?
We did, yeah. There's patients with circulation issues. A lot of times we work in conjunction with the vascular surgery department that comes over from Swedes. We work with a lot of times we'll even be working with nephrology because patients have severe edema in which, if the legs become too swollen, it can cause blisters and then subsequently ulcers to form. So we work with them with fluid management. And then we also treat things like pressure ulcers and vascular ulcers that have developed because of the poor circulation or because of the veins are, if somebody has severe varicose veins. And then, like I said, trauma that can cause injury to the tissue as well as there are oftentimes surgical patients that the wounds are not healing well.
All right. And how would someone, doctor, go about being scheduled for treatment at the Center for Wound Healing?
The number for the Center for Wound Healing, and we are located at the old Stevenson Street Clinic across the street from the hospital at 1036 West Stevenson on the second floor. But the number is 815-599-7410, or they can always go to fhn.org and look up the Wound Center. The numbers are there, the names of the providers are there, and I think the hours are also listed.
Wonderful. We've been talking with Dial-A-Doc today with FHN, FHN Podiatry, the Center for Wound Healing at FHN, with Roland Tolliver, DPM. Roland, a great talk with you. Very interesting, and I hope a lot of valuable information for you out there. And definitely, folks, be careful if you're outside for too long of a prolonged time and take some of the advice you just heard from Dr. Tolliver. Doctor, you take care. We'll hope to talk with you again soon, okay?
Okay, thank you, and stay safe and stay warm.
Thank you very much. Right on. Dr. Roland Tolliver, and that's Dial-A-Doc and part of FHN Podiatry, the Center for Wound Healing at FHN.